Businesses have a responsibility throughout their entire value chains to respect human rights. If you can apply pressure at the top of the supply chain strategically, then you can achieve change at the bottom.
You are listening to Radio Atticus,
your national program on the law in the name of social justice.
This is obviously a live issue, and we need to start to talk about how we might regulate it here so that we aren't outsourcing our problems.
People are curious. They look at you and they want to know your story.
Radio Atticus, more than the vibe.
Welcome to Radio Atticus, your national program on the law in the name of social justice. I'm your host, Anna Marie Reyes. In this edition, Radio Atticus was at the International Workers' Day March held on 7th of May 2017 in Sydney. Emotions and passions were high, and we bring you many of these issues tackled. Some of it include penalty rates being abolished, the gender pay gap, and exploitation of workers' rights such as the right to strike. In part one of this series, we bring you speakers from the Australian Workers' Union, the Australian Services Union, and also journalist Marcus Strom. Reporter Sophia Carvajal was on the ground with this update.
The workers united will never be defeated!
A crowd of around 2,000 people poured into Hyde Park for International Workers' Day on the 7th of May in Sydney. Australian Workers' Union's Michael Oliveros talked about the 80-day strike over worsening work conditions at Fletcher Insulation. And Simone White from Australian Services Union talked about the non-profit for rape campaign. But first, here's journalist Marcus Strom from Sydney Morning Herald talking about the importance of the free press. On May Day in Sydney on 7th of May 2017.
What a fight these guys have got! They are at the end of a management who have mismanaged that corporation over a number of years, and they continue to blame the workers while they take multi-million dollar pay packages and wage increases every day. It is not just about the workers these guys are fighting for on the jobs. They're fighting for more than a one-paper town, more than a Murdoch town. Give Marcus a big round of applause.
Hi, Sydney. Thanks for having me. I'm very proud to be here speaking on May Day, taking unlawful industrial action for a week. Journalists at the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age on Wednesday walked out, and have walked out for a whole week, because this company at Fairfax Media wants to strip $30 million out of our newsrooms. They want to get rid of 125 journalist jobs. That's almost a quarter of our journalists. Now, I know a lot of you may not like journalists all the time, but you've got to love our journalism. And so we are in a death fight for our jobs, but we are in a fight for a much, much bigger story, and that is a free press and an independent press. Because if we have newsrooms that are under-resourced, we cannot cover the stories that matter. The stories that keep the politicians, the business leaders, and even sometimes the union leaders to account. What sort of town would we have without our journalism? Premier Eddie Abiede, perhaps. Nobody would have wanted that. To put that $30 million in context, last year, our CEO got $4.4 million in cash. $1.6 million of that was undisclosed and was only recently revealed by the Australian newspaper a couple of days ago. The same boss got $2.75 million share bonus in March. Just that combined would save 44 jobs of the 125 they're trying to strip out. But these guys have been ripping money out of our joint for years, right back to Fred Hilmer, who got $6 million when he left. David Kirk got $5 million when he left for mismanaging our company. So this is just not just a fight for our jobs, it's a fight for you and the journalism you deserve. So what I want you to do, I want you to get out your phones, go onto the website, fairgofairfax.org.au, and you can send a letter to our CEO to say, stop ripping money off us and invest it back in the newsrooms. So have a great May Day. Get out there on the streets. Thanks very much.
I'm Michael Kirby, and you are listening to Radio Atticus. Radio Atticus is part of the Community Radio Network. I was formerly a Justice of the High Court of Australia with no time to listen to this, but now I sit glued to Radio Atticus.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18, and you can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
2SER 107.3, and this week we're probing the dark recesses of the mind.
Oogum boogum.
Very scary.
Did you wet yourself?
It could happen to you.
Stick around, even if that scene does disturb you too much.
Radio Atticus's special on the International Workers' Day, covered on the ground by reporters Sophia Carvajal and Peter Lewin, 7th of May 2017 in Sydney. Unions, families, teachers, nurses, members of the community coming out and speaking out on behalf of workers' rights. Now continuing our coverage of International Workers' Day, here's Sophia Carvajal again.
Michael Oliveros talked about the 80-day strike over worsening work conditions at Fletcher Insulation.
The AWU. He's from Victoria, but this is about supporting our brothers and sisters wherever they are. He and his comrades have been on the grass for 80 days. 80 days! Listen to what he has to say about struggle, and let's show a big round of applause from New South Wales.
Hello, Sydney, and thank you to the AWU Victoria branch and New South Wales AWU branch for bringing me down here and the ACTU. I've been employed at Fletcher Insulation for 25 years. We make the famous pink bats and the Permastop brand and various of other insulations and industrial. Well, when we started negotiating with management, we had ambit claims. But oh my God, what they've unleashed on us is hell. They want to get away with a redundancy package. They want to strip it back right down. They want to casualise the workplace. And all of us said no. In the first 6 weeks of the dispute, we were stopping the trucks. But then the company got intervention order, because they saw they were getting nowhere, and the police told them and sort the dispute out. So the police, being union members, they helped us a little bit because we didn't create any violence there, so we're okay with them. And we are 100% union worksite, and we need to stop this cancer spreading from our workplace into the rest of Australia. What the 88 guys are fighting there, we're not fighting just for ourselves, but we are fighting for the rest of Australia. Because if we fall, they will come at us one by one. And we met our CEO. We thought he was coming down to break the strike. We were so wrong, because we discovered later he had done a interview with a paper where he said Australia needs a taste of Thatcherism. So, people, you can see what horrible animals we are dealing with. So we need support from everywhere. We have a strike fund. It's called GoFundMe.com. And if you want more of our stories, they're all on the Victorian AWU Facebook page. Thank you, Sydney, and enjoy May Day.
Give Michael a big round of applause. They're under the pump. We'll have buckets circulating. If people want to make a donation to support Michael and his comrades, please do so. Our next speaker is a very, very, very important person. Simone White from the ASU. She's leading a great fight. This government is attempting to strip the services of Rape and Domestic Violence Services Australia. It is an internationally recognised service, and this government is taking the money off them to give it to a corporate company to make profit from rape. It's a disgrace. Yeah! Give Simone a big round of applause.
Okay, well, I just wanted to start out, as usual, by acknowledging that I'm here on behalf of all the women workers from Rape and Domestic Violence Services Australia. We are a fully unionised workplace. There are around, there are about 100 of us, councillors, administration and research staff at RDVSA, and in a few short weeks, we'll find out if many of us are going to be sacked by an insurance company. And if that sounds sort of strange and disgusting, well, that's because it is. And how it's even possible is that the current Liberal government awarded the entire contract for the National Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Line, the 1800 Respect Line. They awarded that to Medibank Private, a for-profit insurance company, back in August last year. And that's after our service, a 50-year-old not-for-profit specialised sexual assault and domestic violence service, had been doing an outstanding job providing that 1800 Respect Line for the last 6 years. The Liberals just gave them the contract. They didn't have to tender for it like every other community not-for-profit service does. They didn't have to prove that they had the skill or the expertise needed to actually run it. It was literally handed on a platter to them in a cabinet decision of the Liberal Party. And no sooner had they been handed control of that contract and automatically given another 2 years' funding, no sooner did they start to wage a vicious campaign to try to cut Rape and Domestic Violence Services out of the contract and essentially sack us all. They have made us re-tender for a fraction of the service that we've been running for the past 6 years. And to justify doing this, they have maligned our organisation, our performance and our staff, and they have created a web of misinformation and extremely misleading statements about our work. And so, as many of you know, our membership at RDVSA decided to fight these attacks and started a campaign with the full backing of the ASU to get the 1800 Respect Service back and to defend our jobs and our rights as workers, a whole bunch of which are being trashed by Medibank. And it's at the stage now where we're at the really pointy end of the campaign. We've handed in a tender that drained enormous resources from our organisation in the past 2 months, and we will know, or we sort of won't know, until sometime in the next few weeks whether or not a bunch of us will have jobs at the end of June. And meanwhile, in the background to all of this, Medibank, who've made us bid for our employment, are making a profit out of rape and domestic violence. They take taxpayer money from the government and turn it into a profit to run a downgraded, hugely problematic, cut-price service to some of the most vulnerable and at-risk people in our community, women, children and men, and I reckon that you'll all agree that that is pretty filthy. And on the topic of filthy, dirty, disgusting realities like ours, the reality that social workers, psychologists, admin and research workers face down losing their jobs so an insurance company can make profits, I wanted to just end by drawing out the parallels between what is happening to us at RDVSA and what is happening more generally to workers and students all over Australia and, to be quite frank, all over the world right now. And that is that the vicious pursuit of profits and the greed of the rich and powerful, the constant austerity attacks on the working class and students, on the poor and the most vulnerable in our society are ruining people's lives. And here in Australia, it isn't obviously just our community services and our welfare state that face being eventually completely trashed if we continue on the path that we're on now. It's our public health system and all of the hard-won rights that we've won as workers over the year, or over the years. All these things face being demolished if the likes of the Liberal Party can get their way. There is absolutely a broader war taking place on workers and on students and the poor, and the most recent incarnations we've seen of this are the Liberals trying to increase university fees against students and the attacks on penalty rates. In our workplace at RDVSA, we all drew the same conclusion together about 6 months ago, and that was that if we did not fight the attacks on us, we would definitely lose. We knew that we were going up against a powerful corporation and a government that talks a lot about valuing women, but in practice seems to care a whole lot more about women like Gina Reinhart than they do about working class women or most of the women that need to use our service. And the only way that we can turn that imbalance around is by doing the same thing that we talk to survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault about all day long. You stand your ground, you gather your allies, and you build your forces, and you fight back. We have been really humbled and strengthened by the support that we've had from trade unionists across the whole trade union movement. We'd like to thank the MUA who've stood shoulder to shoulder to us and extend our solidarity and support to those Port Botany workers who are having a dirt job done on them once again by Patrick's. But thank you to all the unions that have supported us through the trade union movement. We really, really appreciate that, and we will stand by you in the struggles ahead. Thank you.
This is part two of our special on May Day in Sydney on 7th of May 2017. Reporter Peter Lewin was there to get some insights from the crowd.
One struggle! And
my name's Kat.
Sarah. One struggle!
Okay, are you both at school or university?
I'm in
or?
School.
Yeah.
No, I work, yeah.
Okay, are you both affected by the changes to the cancellation of the penalty rates and
yes.
so forth?
I am. I don't
No, I'm not.
You're not?
Yeah,
okay.
I am. Not directly.
Right, do you mind if I ask?
Yeah, go for
okay.
it.
So how does it affect you?
I work a retail job. I work on Sundays, so I receive penalty rates, and with the cuts, I'll be making a lot less money.
Okay.
Yeah, $1,600 a year.
A year?
Yes.
Okay, so that's money that you could put to savings?
Yeah, which is what I'd be doing, is putting it towards savings and learning more and studying and, yeah, being able to be independent.
So it's $1,600 a year, is that right? So if you break it down, it's about, say there's 50 weeks in a year,
yeah.
that's about $30
yeah.
a week.
Yeah.
So is that a significant cost for a young person like you,
yes.
like for your
yeah.
living expenses?
Yes. I live with my parents still, so I don't need to put it towards living, but in terms of other stuff that I need to fund for myself, it is definitely a large impact.
What about fees with university? Is
yeah.
it something that you have in your mind?
Yes, I am planning on going to university. Don't know what for, but I would really like to. And the hiking up of the fees would affect me because I'm planning on going.
Okay. Can I ask that yeah. same question? Are you
yeah.
intending to go to university? And
no, I've already studied at university.
Right.
I finished studying history there. And unfortunately, I ran out of money to continue my studies, which I originally planned on becoming a teacher. But now that I have, you know, a regular working class job, the changes to me mean that the government wants to totally rewrite the conditions on which I have my debt. I mean, I was promised that I wouldn't, you know, be expected to pay back my debt until I earned a decent wage. And as a forklift driver, a warehouse worker, I really don't earn a decent wage. And I can't afford the government taking huge amounts of money from me every week to pay back a debt, you know, for which, like, I've received no huge advantage. Beyond that, I mean, education should be a right, not a privilege, just of people who can afford to go. There's a whole lot of jobs that are essential for Australia to have people educated for. Nurses, teachers, not everyone who goes to university is that privileged. And the government really just wanting to, like, take a huge chunk more money from students is just completely unfair.
Knowing what you know now, if these changes apply to when you were in year 12 and about to start university, would you reconsider going to university?
I probably would have still gone to university, but I would have struggled a lot more knowing how much debt I'm going to be saddled with at the end of it. The living conditions for us here in Sydney are just deteriorating each year. Like, as a young person, I really worry about my ability to ever afford a house, to even stay in Sydney. Like, I don't want to move to another city, but it seems like that's what our generation is going to be expected to do. And us having, you know, university debts burdened on top of that is just a depressing thought, and it's something that I think that, you know, we really need to fight against. Because the government's tried to reef into us every year since the Liberal Party got in, and, you know, I'm proud to say that when I was at university, we did defeat the government's attacks, and I really hope to see, you know, the new generation of students doing that as well.
The workers united will never be defeated. The workers united.
Name and what you're holding right now. Yeah, my name's Matt. I'm a member of the Teachers Federation, which is the teachers union. I'm also a member of Solidarity. We're a revolutionary socialist group. As you can see, we have our banner here that reads, Stop Turnbull, Stop the ABCC. And the ABCC is the Australian Building and Construction Commission, which has extraordinary special powers over construction workers. So they can go onto building sites and demand interviews or interrogations with construction workers, and construction workers don't have the right to say, no, I don't want to talk to you. Unlike any other Australian citizen, you have the right to silence. Construction workers don't. If they don't go and speak with these people from the ABCC, they're looking at big fines or 6 months jail. So that's the reality of the situation currently.
So what do you want to say to Turnbull?
The Turnbull government's got to go. He's, you know, deeply unpopular in the community, and it's a matter of time. But if we want to stop the laws, it's not about... Don't think it's just about electing Labor next election. It's going to be about mobilising a union movement that can do away with these laws of its own accord. It's going to mean strike action. It's going to mean, you know, stop work rallies, people on the street, to defeat the laws. It's been done before. We can do it again. How do we, as a union, as the Labor movement, fight against the cuts to penalty rates? How do we fight the ABCC? How do we, like Sally McManus said, if you have a bad law, you got to break it? She said that. She said that on the 7:30 report, and I wholeheartedly agree. If these laws are sitting there and they're wrong and they're unfair and they're bad, we need to organise together and break those laws. So at the union cross-union delegates meeting happening in July, we're going to call for stop work rallies, the kind of things that happened in the lead-up to the 2007 election that got rid of Howard. Massive union movement mobilisation. You know, you had weekday rallies in Melbourne and Sydney of tens of thousands of people that put an enormous amount of pressure on the Howard government and contributed to his massive defeat in 07. We need to see that again. I'm hopeful that there'll be some positive organisation come out of that. Yeah.
My name's Georgia Helen Potter Butler. I live here in Sydney in Alexandria, and I work for United Voice, which is a union for low-paid workers, including childcare workers.
Okay, so low-paid workers, and what kind of industries?
Cleaners, security guards, home care workers, aged care workers, casino workers, and childcare workers.
Do you represent more women in those sort of groups?
Feminised industries, so yeah. If you look at the demographics of like the caring industries and hospitality industries, they're definitely female-dominated. And in childcare, we're running a case, an equal pay case, because we are arguing that because it's historically feminised industry, it's one of the reasons that contributes to the low pay in the sector.
So is it very hard to justify, because there aren't many men in the industry,
yeah,
that that there's no basis of comparison other than historic? Is it?
Yeah, well, I think one of the challenges with equal pay is that people think that pay equity is about looking at two people doing the same job and saying they should be paid the same. And often they're not, absolutely. But this is a different kind of perspective on pay equity. It's saying that actually, historically, we have valued the caring industries differently, because they have been heavily female-dominated, and it's seen as an extension of this kind of characterisation of women as naturally caring people, and childcare and aged care, etc., as being women's work. So that's resulted in historical undervaluation. So we have to look at this in comparison to other industries, as opposed to men working in the same jobs.
Is there a double sort of whammy with these industries? Because are they exposed to the penalty rates as well?
So childcare work isn't, but aged care work could be, and hospitality obviously is. So they are definitely going to be impacted long-term by the penalty rates decision. But I think the thing with childcare workers, it's often part-time, it's often low-paid work, and there is huge turnover in those industries. And what that means is that kids don't have continuity of care. And if you're a parent, you know that your kids build a relationship with their carer, and that's a really important relationship. And also it underestimates the value of the education that is provided by early childhood educators in those first few years. There's all sorts of evidence to show that the education that occurs between 0 and 5 is just as important and lays the foundation for the education that occurs later in life. But we still think about it, and it's still publicly perceived. It's changing, but it's still publicly perceived as being an exercise in childcare and babysitting rather than education.
With the pay inequality in certain industries like childcare, where it's female-dominated, yep, compared to the valuation, the real pay, versus the pay that they should be paid, what's the difference? What's the gap?
Right. So if you look across Australia, the pay gap between women and men, on average, is about 16%. It changes year on year, sure, but it's about 16%. We are arguing that there is a significant pay gap, more like 20%, and that's about looking at other industries that require equivalent qualifications and going, okay, well, this is a male-dominated industry that has equivalent qualifications. They're paid X amount more, and that's because it's historically male-dominated compared to historically female-dominated. Yeah.
Okay, so it would be 20% would be right for the amount of underpayment that women in childcare.
Yeah, that's about where it's at.
My name's Donna Palmer.
Okay, Donna, what brings you out here today? What does it mean to you?
We're fighting for our rights, for our equal pay, and work for our workers to make sure that we all get the right treatment. They're not getting the right justice for them. So this is our chance to speak up for everybody and be on par for everybody else. And people that aren't with us today, we're speaking on their behalf.
Are you affected by the changes in the wages, the pay gap?
We all are affected. That's why we're fighting today. We're here in force, speaking up to show Mr. Turnbull that we are here, we need to be paid right, and at the end of the day, a fair day's pay for a fair day's work.
The speakers you heard were Delegate and Journalist Marcus Strom from Sydney Morning Herald, Michael Oliveros from Fletcher Insulation on behalf of the Australian Workers Union Victoria, and Simone White from Australian Services Union.
Reporters Peter Nguyen and Sophia Carvajal there on the ground during International Workers' Day, 7th of May in Sydney. You're listening to Radio Atticus, broadcast nationally to the Community Radio Network and produced in the studios of Radio 2SER. I'm Anna Marie Reyes.
Well, I'm Gillian Triggs, and for legal news, facts and opinion, listen to Radio Atticus on 2SER.
No matter how big or small the occasion, Crust Pyrmont is your go-to pizza store in the Sydney CBD for office catering. Crust Pyrmont can deliver from 1 to 150 pizzas per order, using the best equipment to make sure your gourmet pizzas are delivered fresh, hot and on time. Choose between ordering online through the Crust Pizza app or simply call the store on 9566 1933. Crust Pizza Pyrmont proudly sponsors 2SER 107.3. Don't miss your chance to see the final episode of Just Words, recorded live at 107 Projects in Redfern on Thursday, May 18, from 7pm. 2SER is really excited to announce that Jeremy Jones from the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council will be joining us on the night as a live guest to debate the merits of 18C. Tickets are selling fast, so don't miss out. Buy yours today, and when you arrive on the night, you'll also go in a lucky door prize to win Audio-Technica headphones. Just head to the 2SER website, 2SER.com.
Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
A shout out to all our listeners around the country. To Bub FM from Taree, New South Wales. To MIA Griffith, New South Wales. To Triple R Gladesville, New South Wales. To Wet Tank FM in West Kempsey, New South Wales. To Double X Canberra City ACT. 3CR in Fitzroy, Victoria, 3UHFM Alexandra, Victoria, 4NSA Noosa Heads in Queensland, 7RPH in Hobart, Tasmania, 8CCC at Alice Springs, ACT, 8EGov FM in Nullanby, ACT. Also a shout out to 3CH in Woodend, Victoria. And that's about all we have time for in this edition. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want more, why not go to www.2ser.com/radioatticus and you'll hear the last 3 to 4 programs podcasted online for your online convenient listening. Tune in again next week here on Radio Atticus as we bring you the law, justice, and its impact on your daily lives. I'm Anna Marie Reyes saying bye for now.